Amen. I want to just share with you, I think something that's exciting once we kind of get an understanding of it. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Now, we were in Romans chapter 7 last couple of weeks, two or three weeks, and we went to verse 14 and talked about the conflict of the two natures. What I want to do, when I want to do good, evil is present, and so forth. So now we're going to talk about that section before that, verse 7 through 13. I'm led to go back up in there. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. The light came on for me today concerning this passage, and it is a marvelous thing. It is powerful, and it just talks really about the love and the grace and mercy of God. And I guarantee you, Father God, I thank you that we'll see your grace and your mercy and your love from an angle with which we've never seen it before, through the revelation work of the Holy Spirit in this passage. I pray that we all have ears to hear, and we will hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say through me to us, your church, in Jesus' name. Amen. So get ready to get excited in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Verse 7. What shall we say then? Whenever you ask that, just a quick for my, you know, we're also learning to be Bible scholars here too. When you see that phrasing, what shall we say then? Remember, that phrasing is always answering an imaginary objector. Okay, so in that white space there before that, somebody said, well, man, that ain't right, or that, you know, what's going on with that? He said, well, what are we going to say to that? We would say today, then, well, what you going to say? Is there unrighteous with God? Like Romans 8, Romans 9, 13. You know, it was tough hearing them say, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. That was tough. Yeah. So in verse 14, he said, what are you going to say? No, we have to face the hard truths. And so Apostle Paul, being the great teacher that he is, so we say then, is the law sin? May it never be. Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law, because I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, you shall not covet. Now let's stop right there. The grace of God is in the law. The fact that there is law, that's the grace of God. The mercy of God is in the fact that there is law. The love of God is also couched in the fact that there is God's law. Now, let's back this up. Father, help me to just calm down and just get it out as you would have it, so that we all can understand, in Jesus' name. Now, let's go back to Genesis, right? Genesis, sin enters the world in chapter what, my scholars? 3. The fall of man happened in chapter 3. Fall of man. Now I'm very particular, you know, and very technical when it comes to the Word of God, because I'm teaching you, and if it's wrong, I'll come back and tell you that Eve sinned. I've told you this before, not when she ate of the fruit, but when she made the decision in her mind to not trust God and to believe the lie of Satan, because Satan lied to her and she believed the lie, after telling him what God told her was through Adam. So she knew the revealed word of God, and chose not to believe it. Do y'all understand that? Remember, she told the devil what God said. So it's not like she was in the dark. She willingly, knowingly, deliberately chose to believe Satan over what she knew God had said. When she listened, she was already done. The eating of the fruit was just the external act of the sin that had happened already in the heart. And what was it, a sin of? Disobedience and unbelief. Disobedience, unbelief rather, leading to disobedience. She did not trust God. She trusted Satan over God. We fall. Man falls. The fall has happened. Chapter 6, three chapters later, verse 5, we now see how far man has fallen, how depraved he is, because every single thought, every single motive, every single intention is only evil continually. You got that? That was Genesis 6 and 5. So now, sin is rampant. Now, but when does God give the law? Right? Not until Deuteronomy. So I can hear someone ask, so I asked the Lord, you know, so then when people were committing these sins before you gave the law, was it sin? What's the answer? Why? Very good. The answer is yes, but why?
It's still sin.
Because, right, it's still sin. That's right, but give me why. Well, but see, remember, they don't know yet. They don't know that it's sin. He hasn't given the law yet. It's sin because even though God hadn't told man about his standard, it was already there all along. It was all along. Does that make sense? Even though they didn't know it, but that's what God is about, because you don't know it. It ain't in my eye, it's still sin. God is merciful. He could have just let them all go to hell and never even expose it to them. Hey man, that's wrong. That's why I said to give him the law. Now you understand it even more. It's grace, it's mercy on display, on an exhibition, and it's grace, mercy, and love all on display by giving the law. See, in the Old Testament, they just doing their thing. Just as perverted as ever. And again, at the root of sin is sexual perversion. You want to read something that seems like, even though you're reading the Bible, even though you're reading the very Word of God, it feels like you need to take a bath after you read the chapter. It's the one on all the sexual perversion. When you read about having sex with the beast, people were doing that. You got to think about that. I'm making these laws because people are doing these things. So don't have a sex with beast. Man, don't have sex with another man. Woman, don't be with another woman. Father, don't be with your daughter. He had to go against incest, cousin and uncle. It just goes through all of the things, just deep down. Why? People were doing that. Sin had driven man to extreme depravity. And what God did with the law was to call it sin officially. Man, that's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that with that beast. You shouldn't do that with that girl. This and that and the other, lying and killing and all that. These things are wrong. It was wrong all the time. But then the law came. We're back to 7 now. Look at verse 7 again. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, Romans 7:7. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. Then he gives an example. I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, thou shalt not covet. So when God said, thou shalt not lay with the beast, thou shalt not man with a man, woman with a woman, thou shalt not covet. Once those came forth, then okay, there it is. That is, that now lets me know that that is now sin. I know that now because God's law is now out there for us to know. What I didn't realize, that that's the way it is with every sinner. They don't, when we sin as Christians, real genuine Christians, there's something that happens to us that we've offended the holiness of God. To a sinner, they may know they've done something wrong. They say, well, man, ain't nobody perfect. They'll do that. But they have no idea of the gravity that they've offended the holiness of God. You follow what I'm saying? They're just kind of out there doing their thing with really not much. I mean, I know there's the Romans 2 of the conscience written in there, but not to the level that it is with us. Sinners out there just doing whatever they want to do. Apostle Paul said, well, let's keep reading. I want to show you this. Verse 8, but sin taking opportunity through the commandment, but sin taking opportunity through, I'm going to read that from the Amplified. He said, but sin finding opportunity in the commandment to express itself got a hold on me and aroused and stimulated all kinds of forbidden desires, lust, covetousness. For without the law, sin is dead. The sense of it is inactive and a lifeless thing. Now this is really thick, and you got to take your time in going through this. Have you noticed, as soon as you tell little Johnny, don't touch that, you just pretty much told him, go on and touch that. If you don't tell little Johnny nothing, he might not even know it's even in the room. That's sin nature in us. So what he's saying is, once he told me don't touch that, all I wanted to do was touch that. It woke up those desires. You understand what I'm saying? So he's saying then, the law, when it was given, and I understood it and I knew it, by waking up those desires in me, even more so, you may be tempted to call the law sin. You follow me? Because of what it did. But the law is not sin, he said. It's our reaction to the law that's sinful.
Right, yeah.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
That's crucial that we understand that. The law is good. So we go back to verse 7. Let's go back to verse 7. Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin?
No.
No, it's not sin. Amplified says, what shall we conclude? Is the law identical with sin? Certainly not. No, it just exposes it. And he says it, no. He says, man, if it had not been for the law, I wouldn't have known sin. But thank God that we know sin. So you understand what I'm saying? That the giving of the law is an act of grace and mercy and the love of God. Because it lets us know, as his children, you're in sin and that is offending the holiness of God. Did God have to give the law? Didn't have to. Every time God resurrects the spirit of a person, then we become like this. We're kind of awakened. And the things you used to do without any impunity, didn't think twice about it. Now bring you great guilt, shame.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Thank God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Let's keep reading. So verse 8 again. But sin, I'm reading from Amplified again, finding opportunity in the commandment to express itself, got a hold on me and aroused and stimulated all kinds of forbidden desires. Lust, covetousness, for without the law, sin is dead. And has here, the sense of it is inactive and a lifeless thing. You say, got it?
Yes.
Amen. Let me get the rest of it right. Let's get it. So without the law, us reacting to sin is dead. We don't even react to it. Because the law is what woke us up.
If nobody tells you don't do that, then you don't know that doing that, that you shouldn't be doing that. Because nobody said don't do that. So once somebody said don't do that, then I'm sorry. If nobody says don't do that, then whenever you do that, there's a reaction to it. You know, it ain't wrong. I don't know nothing.
So when it says that sin is dead, Amplified says the sense of it, the sense of us sensing the sin, is inactive and a lifeless thing. Like ain't nothing happened. We ain't did nothing wrong. So we got to teach children, you know, like, boy, that's wrong. You shouldn't be speaking to me like that. I remember I said something crazy to mother when I was younger, and I used the word she. I was referring to mother as she. I probably was talking to somebody that got mad, you know. Was she doing that? She doing that? And mother heard me. Oh, Jesus. That woke up and be like, she, don't be doing that. That was disrespectful. Yes. That's what we got to teach the children. And the Holy Ghost got to teach us. And that's done through, first of all, the giving of the law, and then the Holy Spirit acting in us, telling, hey, man, that ain't right. But until the law came, we had no reaction to it. There was, again, the sense of it was, is inactive and a lifeless thing. Sin is dead. Ain't no sin, no big deal. But once God wakes us to it, it comes alive. Let's keep reading. So look at verse 9. I was once alive apart from the law. Once I was alive and quite apart from, when I say, he says quite apart from and unconscious of the law. Once alive means I'm just having a blast. I'm out here just doing my thing. I'm happy, I'm crazy, and I'm happy and crazy. I'm doing whatever I want to do. He said, I was alive apart from the law. I was alive having no sense concerning the law. So therefore, there was no guilt. Nothing to bring down my joy. There was no kill joy. Law going on. And that's how, when we sin, we just doing our thing. When we're apart from God, those who smoke, drink, curse, had sex outside of marriage, we just doing our thing. Lying, cheating. We just... no sense, no guilt, no hardly nothing. He said, I was, verse 9, he said, once I was alive, but quite apart from and unconscious of the law. Keep reading verse 9. However, but when the commandment came, sin, King James says, sin was revived or became alive, and I died. All my joy went south. Once the law came, once it came, Monsieur, we was no longer happy. Once the law came, they said, man, you wrong doing this, you wrong doing that. What you doing here, what you been doing all your life is wrong. All that's wrong. It's just like a teacher with a big red marker. It's going over your paper. Wrong. Just big X's all over. Then that's why they just X'ing the whole thing. Oh, action. All of it's wrong. So that he was no longer alive. Symbolically speaking, his joy was dead because the commandment was alive. And when that commandment became alive, boy, sin was revived. Oh, Lord, now this is sin. Why, that's wrong? Now you're conscious of it. But that's a good, can you see the grace of mercy? If we're mature enough, we can see the grace of mercy. I said, man, we should let that law body. Yeah, man, I get really bugged. But you don't want that. Not as a real Christian. No. Because, be honest with you, sin is a liar.
Yes.
And a cheater too. Yeah. What do you mean by that? It promised you love and joy and happiness and peace. Sin promised you fulfillment of your desires. Think about it. Sin promised you fulfillment of your desires. That's why it's attractive. It tells you, come on and do this. Because you will be fulfilled. It will bring you joy. It is pleasurable. For a season.
Yeah, like a second.
And so it is very attractive in that way. But the Holy Ghost letting you know. You, sin is telling you, you're unhappy, do this and it'll make you happy. But the lie is, no, you're unhappy, do this and you'll be unhappy too. Maybe even worse.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's the lie. It may bring you short-term happiness, but it is short-term. And next time, when that happiness ends, you're unhappy again. But the thing about it is, apart from the Holy Ghost, you're vulnerable to that lie every time. Do this, and this will now make you happy. But that didn't work. Well, now do this.
Yes.
Yes. You out there just looking real crazy. We were all out there. We were all out there. In one degree or another, we were all out there. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Thank you, Lord God, for the commandment. To even tell me I'm sinning. Because remember, in the eyes of God, you're still a sinner, whether we knew it or not. God's standard has already been set. He just was gracious enough to let us know, this is my standard. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Side note, but very important side note. Very important side note. Very important. Glory be to God. What the sexual revolutionaries don't realize, and I want you to understand this, please hear me and hear me well. The sexual revolutionaries, they believe that man started morality, if you will. You follow me? That man started morality. This is beautiful if you can catch it. They can't tell you what man, but they tell you somebody back up in there, back in the day, started this. And it helped me to understand why they think the way they think. So if you believe that a man, when I say started morality, that's kind of a general term. I'm saying, you know, it didn't come from God, is the point I'm making. No, the reason that a man couldn't have sex with a man, a woman with a woman, a father with a daughter, and so forth, because somebody back in the day said that wasn't right. Mm-hmm. Why do you know that? Because the words like we've evolved, or that was during the Puritanic age, that's more puritanical age, more pure, but we that was the dark ages and people more, but now we've evolved. Mm-hmm. So we know now that those things are okay. It's a sliding morality. But morality can slide if you believe that man started it. But it was not man who started the thou shalt not. Because the first time that, what's the first sin in recorded scripture? First sin recorded in scripture. Yeah. Murder, right? Murder. Eve. I forgot Eve. Yeah, Eve there. But I meant after the fall. The first one after the fall was fratricide, brother killing brother. It was a homicide of a brother killing a brother, commonly known, or more specifically known as fratricide. Fratricide. The first murder. Now, ain't that something? Yeah, fraternal, right. Now, that's something that the first thing that happens within a family, and it was murder. Could have just waited a minute for a few other people to come and then try to go kill somebody else, but I think that's a message that Satan was trying to tear up right away. Murder of his own brother was the first murder recorded. I think that is extremely symbolic. And if you think about all of the sexual perversion, I've told you this before, it is not to just have perverted things happening. It's to destroy family.
Yeah.
Because you don't have God's family, idea of family, when you have two mothers or two fathers.
Thank you.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's a destroyed family because family is the thread through which it is interwoven throughout all of society, the fabric of society. You cut that thread of which is family, the society becomes unraveled. We're seeing that 1,000,000%. Thank God that he stepped in and said, that is wrong. Amen. And I'm gonna call to me a people that's gonna, and I'm gonna give my spirit and my word, and they're gonna follow my word. And they're gonna be that light in this dark, dark, dark world.
Yes, Lord.
Because they've been given the law. And they know that this is wrong. He didn't leave us out there floundering and fledgling all by ourselves.
No, that's right.
I am the Lord your God. Glory to God is right. He didn't leave us hanging. He didn't leave us by ourselves. That's why when we do sin, we don't have an excuse. We really don't. I'm talking about me, you, us. We got Holy Ghost, got the Word of God, got the power of God. There's no reason to sin. Except we want to just do me. Remember we talked about that. And that's just the real you giving in to your flesh. Mm-hmm. That's all that's about. The devil done lied to you. The devil lied to you. And he told you that, you know, man, you've been doing right for quite a while now. It's time for you to do you. Don't believe that lie. You know what that lie comes out of? A sense of being unfulfilled. That means you're not trusting in the Lord for the fulfillment, because fulfillment only comes from the Lord. Joy only comes from the Lord. Peace only comes from the Lord. The things you really, really, really want, that's why you do these other things. That's why people drink and smoke. I told you just before, nobody starts smoking crack to become a bum that had a teeth fall out and turn brown, turn it back on their whole family. Go in there and beat up folks that they loved before they went on crack to get more money from them to go out and get more drugs. I had a son steal his whole parents' furniture in all of the living room for drugs. The parents came back home, there was nothing in their living room. Had a brother knock down the door of his own sister, kick the door in, stole the jewelry. Nobody said, oh, I want to start smoking crack so I can steal all my mother's friends. We're going to knock my sister's down. It's not that. Yeah. Some things going on up in here. And then once that get a hold of you, then that's where it takes you.
Right.
But that's not the plan.
Nope.
The plan is to feel better.
Right.
But the devil is lying, saying this is going to make you feel better. Mm-hmm. A few seconds, then you're worse. Fame, riches, all that, they lie. They lie and they lie. They lie. They're very deceitful. God is saying, no, don't do it. I told you it's wrong. I'm telling you that's a sin for a reason. Not only does it dishonor my holiness, not only is it blasphemous to my majesty, but in the end, it's going to cost you way more than what you think it is. He's looking out for us too.
Yep.
As hard-headed as we are, it ain't something God got to knock us in the head to look out for us. That's why sometimes you just step aside and go, oh, you old crazy thing, you go ahead then. Bust your head open. I'll be there on the other side because I said I'll never leave your crazy behind.
Yes.
Nor forsake your old righteous self.
Amen.
I'm going to still be there, but I told you, oh, so-and-so said to not run down. I told you that. Leave that girl alone. I told you that. Now you got 10 kids and she ain't your, you don't even like her. And unfortunately, that's some stories.
Yeah.
Am I right, Michelle? Them a bunch of stories right there.
Yeah.
Sometimes I look at, sometimes, man, you know, when we counsel some of these single brothers, you know, like we maybe had this out fellowship or something, man, can you talk to me about some things? I said to myself, man, how in the world you get hooked up with this old crazy girl? What's wrong with you? I want to say that, but you, and outside I'm just a comment.
Yes.
I'm inside, I'm like, yeah, she crazy.
Yes, I hear you.
inside, I'm like, man, please. Sin is just so ugly. It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God. It's the love of God. It's the mercy of God to say, hey, that's wrong. That's my standard. Don't do that. Thou shalt not do that. That's the grace of God doing that. That's God reaching for us so that we can identify the ugliness of it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's a mercy. It's a grace. It's the love of God. Let's keep reading. Romans chapter 7. Hold on 1 second. Thank you, Father. Okay, so verse 9 said, once I was alive, but quite apart from and unconscious of the sin. But when the commandment came, sin lived again and I died. I was sentenced by the law to death. Why? Because the wages of sin is the soul that sin shall die. And if they eat thereof, you will surely die. Verse 10 from the Amplified. Romans 7. Look at verse 10, a New American Standard first. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. So he said, verse 10 again, Amplified. And the very legal ordinance, which was designed and intended to bring a life, actually proved to mean to me death. For sin, verse 11, taking the opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it, killed me. Not necessarily, literally, but he's saying the result of it, right? The wages of sin is death. Amplified, for sin, seizing the opportunity and getting a hold on me by taking its incentive from the commandment, beguiled and entrapped and cheated me, and using it as a weapon, killed me. That's what sin does. It lies to you. It traps you. It entices you. Hey, come over here. This will make you feel better. That's like those knucklehead people. Why is it that the people at the party, out in the street, like, man, come on, smoke this. Come on, drink this. And we just wasn't starting to say, well, man, well, come on and read this. You know, come on and say hallelujah.
Yeah.
We didn't know how to fire back at them. We, you know, we would just go in, you know, we would just go to their, oh, it's their side. You know, man, you're L back, well, back in the day was called L7 or square. You're a square or L7. You know, that kind of thing. Whereas not realizing that you're keeping poison out of your body, but putting poison in is a thing to do. He said, man, sin lied and trapped me and enticed me, beguiled me and tricked me. That's what sin does. It really does. Whatever you're thinking about doing, Elder, this is a word for somebody. Don't do it. Don't do it. Get it out your mind. It may look good, smell good, sound good, feel good, whatever. Look at it closely. Look at it closely. And I mean look at it through Holy Ghost eyes. Because he can discern, remember, more clearly what's right and what's wrong. Why? We got a standard. You measure everything up to that standard. He said it deceived me. It beguiled me. It entrapped me. It cheated me. And used the law as a weapon. And using it. Verse 12. The law therefore is holy. And each commandment is holy and just and good.
Amen.
The law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good.